time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on the Powell County Sports Network, WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, busy times out there. Again, if you have ad needs, we aim to serve. And please, we've got a lot of really nice comments going on so far with the video streaming access that we've done so far. So if you want to jump on the ad side of that, just contact Ken or myself, and we'll be glad to get up with you again. I tell you what, Ken, it's a wonderful, to me, it's a wonderful deal now. I know our rates have actually gone up a little bit, but with the video capability what we're getting, man, it's far worth it. You're getting a lot of bang for your dollar.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think what I'm loving, too, is the people that are actually tuning into the live stream on WSKV Facebook page, that live stream, a lot of comments coming in from people, whether it's cheering on the Pirates, shouting out for particular players, even people announcing where they're actually coming from, where they're listening from. We've had over the years, we've had different people just to even get word back to us in a sense that they were listening, because you can listen to WSKVFM.com and stream the game, the radio broadcast. So, I mean, even if you're outside of the broadcast area, you can still listen on the radio through the internet. So, I mean, that gives options. So we've had people, across the country who have actually listened to the broadcast. But now to have that video into it, it's amazing. I've gone back and watched, some of those games as well. Ethan's doing a great job as far as the video on it. We're still trying to work out some kinks in a sense as far as, keeping up. Sometimes on radio, when you're not watching video, you don't necessarily see what's going on, and you can be delayed in what you're broadcasting, if that makes sense. And now all of a sudden, now that we're live in sync with that video, sometimes it gets a little tricky.
Yeah, but I tell you what, he has done a fantastic job, and it's just like, really, just like you're watching television broadcast of the game. Just pull it up on your Facebook, on WSKV's Facebook, and the audio is actually with the video, so you're getting really good really good service here. And like I said, you can go back and view these games anytime you want.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty. And again, I think our sponsors will really enjoy that part, because this is something that could be seen pretty much any hour of the day. Again, you go back to the archives, you can go back to watch the Facebook, just go find it and view the game if you would like to. We have a lot of kids that have been involved in the games that go back and watch it later. And again, it's more recognition for the sponsors if you're interested in that. But I think other than that, it is a great, to me, it's a great thing that we're utilizing. And it really cut started with COVID. But I've said this for a long time to a lot of people. COVID is a bad thing. But there's going to be a lot of things come out of COVID that will stick around, because there are better ideas and better ways to do things. This is just one of them.
Yeah, I would agree. And I will say this, too. When you're out and about, you frequent these sponsors of the sports broadcasting, let them know, you appreciate them sponsoring the volleyball, the soccer, the football, and obviously as we go forward into the other sports, but let them know you appreciate them sponsoring the Powell County Sports Network and these broadcasts, and let them know again that you appreciate that, and obviously frequent those businesses, the ones that are out there that you can get to. Again, show your appreciation by doing business with them, and then letting them know that you listen and you appreciate their sponsorship.
Yeah, because I don't think that I do think this, again, it's when I said earlier, sometimes you wonder about the cost, but this time I'm telling you what, the value that you get out of the dollar being video, anytime pretty much you want to go back and replay it, it's always going to be there. That's impactful. So you're unlimited plays per day for your sport, for your sponsorship. So, but other than that, it's a great tool for our kids of the community to bring you their sporting events. Again, we probably here at WSKV on the Powell County Sports Network are bringing you more sporting events than most any other stations, I would almost guarantee. I know there's a lot that talk about bringing you a lot of sports, but I think we're probably at the top, especially in Eastern Kentucky, of bringing you as many sports as you can possibly get. Again, and speaking of that, you've got the rest of our sports schedule through next Wednesday.
Yeah, actually, we will be on the air tomorrow night. It will be senior night as the girls volleyball team plays host to Jackson City. The varsity game will get started at 6 o'clock. Again, they are doing the varsity games as the first game here to make sure that they can get that out of the way and then moving on to the JV game. So we'll have Jackson City volleyball versus the Powell County Lady Pirates tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Actually, the girls are on the road tonight at Morgan County, are the volleyball girls. So we'll have that tomorrow night. Then Friday night, we will be on the road at Lewis County, where the Powell County Pirates will face off against them. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock for the pregame. 7:30 will be kickoff. And then we don't actually have another broadcast until next week, and that would actually be the
Tuesday?
Where am I at here? Tuesday, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. We'll be back on the air for where am I at here? I've got the wrong sheet here.
I think it's volleyball. I think. Is it?
Thursday. I know Thursday is soccer. Thursday we have a doubleheader, both boys and girls soccer, as they will be playing host to Wolf County. But I believe it is Tuesday with volleyball. It is Tuesday at Owsley County.
Yes.
I'm getting my dates confused here. So it's Tuesday at Owsley County for girls volleyball next week. And then Thursday it will be boys and girls doubleheader and soccer at Powell County, as they will play host to Wolf County. And then we'll be at home next Friday night on October the 2nd, where the boys football team will play host to Fleming County.
Yeah, and that's a busy schedule. Again, also in Kennedy Solo on Tuesday, due to the fact that the girls regional golf tournament is being played on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. If I can make it back to Owsley County and help Ken out, I will do that. But normally those days run long at the region. And again, it's at Jenkins, so it's a couple-hour drive away, even back to Owsley County. So, you know, if we're done by 3 o'clock, I'll be thankful. That pushes you back, getting back to do an hour time at 6 is pretty tough to do. But that being said, COVID updates for today. Again, we have crossing barriers nationwide. I think 200,000 deaths now from COVID nationwide. In Kentucky, new cases today, 796, 5 new deaths, bringing the total of deaths to 1,124. And then your confirmed cases, 56,154, or actually 63,517. Out of that, there are 7,363 probable cases. 56,154 have been confirmed COVID. So I know a lot of folks have talked about those numbers and things like that, and kind of thinking have been skewed. I'm one, on the other hand, that really doesn't think so. That really, when you look at the age thing, of which has really came up here in the past, the 0 to 9 is now 2,529 cases. And the 10 to 19 is 7,121. The new high, Ken, is the 20 to 29-year-old age group, 12,526 cases. That is the highest age group of any group in the state of Kentucky. Again, we talk about the elderly. If you mentioned that, 80 and over, really only 3,100 cases in Kentucky have been over 80, 4,000 over 70. And it goes up from there, again, to that 2029, and then takes a little bit of a drop-off, 10 to 19, 0 to 9. And I'm one that believes the younger age group is because there's not a lot of testing being done with those age groups. So that's my spiel.
Yeah, and I would say in general, I think when you start going down to the younger age group, I think they're probably less likely to, you know, practice social distancing and wear masks? If I, you know, again, I'm speculating here, but I would assume that it would probably be less, and the older you get, more people are probably being, you know, more in line in a sense as far as being protective. But still, it's unfortunate no matter how many cases that you actually look at. Fortunately, here today in Powell County, no additional cases to report today. There are 3 active cases, and 2 additional individuals ended up meeting the criteria for recovery. So there have been 91 total cases in Powell County. 88 have recovered, and again, 3 active, no additional cases as of today. You know, we've talked about this over the last several weeks as well. Powell County will start in-person instruction on Monday, the 28th. Hopefully, things don't increase as far as, you know, the number of cases, et cetera. I know that the district has been trying to kind of get things lined out as far as, you know, the protocols, what will have to be followed as far as once, you know, students enter into the building, wearing masks, temperature checks, limiting, you know, exposure, I guess, to other students in the building. So basically you're kind of confined to that classroom setting in a sense, obviously outside of going to, whether it's, you know, to the bathroom breaks, no matter if it's the, you know, lunch breaks or whatever it might be. Again, they're working those things out, but hopefully cross our fingers that we don't necessarily see an increase in cases starting in the next couple of weeks, and let's just cross our fingers.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to come back and talk more about school starting up and some of those scenarios that Ken was talking about right after break here on the Powell County Sports Network here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During Ram Power Days going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force with 0% financing available and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins diesel, they are all on sale and priced to move. If you're talking about a new truck and you haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live here on the Powell County Sports Network. David Faulkner along with Ken Simon as we again continue a little bit to talk about going back to school next week. Again, all the kiddos will be back in session. I think the elementary schools will be Monday through Friday. Middle school and high school Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday and Friday will be virtual days for the high school. And you know what? It goes back to this. Sometimes you may be questioned whether or not things are good ideas or not. My comment would go more this way. Since I am a positive person, it has taken a lot of planning and a lot of work to go back from virtual to in person. The planning has really been rather enormous, and I'd like to thank the staff at the central office, the schools, the teachers. Man, they have worked so hard. The bus drivers have been chipping in, getting things ready for the kids to come back. Cooks have been working, aides. Everybody in the district has really chipped in to make it possible to get to go back to school. Our custodians, maintenance, I mean, everybody included, even you Friskies. It takes all of the folks for the district to come together for the benefit of the kids. And I know a lot of the parents are wanting their kids back into regular schedules. The only thing is, these regular schedules back at school aren't going to be very regular. These kiddos are going to be wearing masks for the majority of the day. If they only get a 5 or 10 minute break at times, there are no times I think there are mask breaks as far as just during class time. It's masked the entire time.
It will be. And the only way that it will not be is obviously eating, you know, mm-hmm. lunchtime in a sense, and or even potentially recess. I'm talking elementary at this
elementary,
point.
Yeah.
You know, recess. But at that point, there still has to be social distancing. You know as well as I do. I mean, if I'm outside and I'm an elementary school kid and we're playing.
You're playing.
I'm playing, so therefore, you know, maybe to some extent, maybe the masks don't necessarily come off, because at that point, again, you're going to have to reinstill within these kids that, okay, it's playtime, but yet it's not playtime like you once knew it to be, so therefore having to make those mental adjustments in a sense. But it's going to be hard on everybody in a sense.
Yes.
You know, we've been used to people not being in the building, limited, I should say. You know, obviously there are staff there that are, you know, the teachers and other staff that are there, but not necessarily students at this point. So now when you get the whole group back, and then what's that going to look like in a sense? So still a lot of kinks probably to work through. We'll figure that out, you know, especially during those first couple of days, that first week, figure out what works and what's not working and make those adjustments. But I think in general, you know, the fact that we've gone from March till now of kids not being in school, I think just that social interaction and being back into some normalcy, at least the familiar surroundings as far as school and your peers and that kind of thing, I think everybody almost needs that in a sense, just to kind of make that mental adjustment to let's try and get back to a normal, you know, state of mind, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and I think that's the concept with the superintendent, and I think he thinks that let's get these kids back to normalcy as fast as we can. I totally agree. But we have seen normalcy back into some schools where they've already decided to make some changes and go back to a virtual setting. You know, those are the cases that you'll just kind of have to play it by ear and see what you've got. Right now, our rate is low enough to where it's not a scary thing to go back to school. Now, I mean, the number of cases next door in Estill County, they've delayed their school, I think, till October 19th now. As their start date, but they've had a pretty good outbreak at their nursing home there, but they've still had cases around the school, and therefore they're going to delay the actual start back, and they are one of the red counties, and I know Governor Beshear came out with this red, orange, yellow, I guess green
right.
counties, and right now Powell County is actually in the yellow. We were orange not too long ago. Estill County was. But Estill County was also yellow or green, and now they are red, and they're high red, over 51% positivity rate in Estill County. So that number will go down over time, just like Powell County was red, about a month ago?
Right.
And we're back now to where we are, you know, yellow and probably borderline getting back to green. That's the goal. But again, you worry, or we worry. We've talked about this before. With all the sports opening up, interacting with different counties, and the practices, you have to make sure that you follow the protocols. If you're a coach, you have to wear your mask. If you're a player, you have to be responsible enough to know when you're not active, put your mask back on because of the distancing thing, because it will carry over. And you have to get used to wearing this mask anyway. You're going to be wearing it at school all day long. So the mask is a new normal that you're going to have to adapt to. And if you haven't adapted yet, you better practice here in the next few days, because it's going to hit you in the face on Monday or Tuesday, whichever your first day of back to school is.
Yeah, at this point, in some ways, and I remember even, your daughter Kayla, in a sense, having that conversation as far as, like, she's used to wearing that mask now. Of course, she's been wearing it probably longer just based on her work schedule, et cetera. But even for us, at this point, I'm almost getting used to it now. My problem is I forget to put my glasses back down over my eyes, right? Not that I can't see without them, because I can, but I'm just saying in general, like, I forget about my glasses now because I'm keeping my mask on, and then realizing, like, oh, okay, what's that say? Oh, yeah, my glasses are on top of my head, and I need to take my mask off when I'm not around somebody. But,
well, you know, when we talk about sports, you know, one of the things I do is coach girls golf right now, and one of the things that I do at the golf course, and this sounds kind of weird, but as a coach, we're required to have our mask on at all time. Well, we're outside. We're probably more than 6 feet away from our players, but I'm going to still wear my mask. So it's kind of like we're going to practice for a couple hours. My mask is going to stay on the entire time. So by the time I get in my truck to come home or come here to the station, I'll sometimes just leave it on, just not even think about taking it off. Because it's kind of like that seatbelt when you put it on every day. If you get used to wearing it, it's just kind of second nature. And hopefully folks will buy into that. And, if you're a fan of basketball, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes, because there was a change from the KCSA, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But, if you want to see these kids play further on into the year without having to shut down, and we've seen cancellations already from these high school football teams and other
any
events,
number of districts.
Yes, it is hitting hard in places. So, if you want to continue watching sports, if you want to continue being active, please put your mask on. If not, you're part of the problem, because we've got to get the numbers down. And the only way to do that, I think, is to protect yourself and to protect others is wear your mask. And if you want to come to a game and you got one of those vouchers, wear your mask in the stands, because, again, if people start not wearing masks at games, all that's going to get you is nobody's going to the games. We'll just play the game without the spectators. And more people may listen to us on radio, but that's not what we want to see happen.
And I think on one hand, too, it goes back to we have to stay the course, as we've stated, for months on end, it seems. But it's not that inconvenient to wear those masks at that given time. Again, the last thing any of us want to do is to be asymptomatic and be that person, in a sense, that is causing, whether it's the schools to shut down, the athletics to shut down, whatever it might be. So, again, being diligent, in a sense, wearing that, practice the social distancing, in order to keep things going. Because the last thing we want, according to CDC, obviously, potentially, as the weather's getting colder, you might see an increase and you might see a spike. Yeah. And at the same time, usually when school starts back up in general anyway,
people get sick.
They get sick, right. At that point, there are enough germs, in a sense, around, whether it's a stomach virus or strep or anything else. So, therefore, you almost expect those things. Now, with this on top of that, again, we have to be careful, making sure you're still washing your hands, social distancing, wearing your mask, and doing all that you can in order to stay healthy and to keep others healthy as well.
And the big thing with that is, one of the biggest ways to stop the flu spread, the same thing that stops COVID. So, wear the mask, wash your hands, distance. If we're killing two birds with one stone. Last year, we got out a lot for the flu. Guess what? We might not have any flu problems if people do what they're supposed to do in those confined areas. However, the CDC still says there's more at risk indoors than there is outdoors. So, therefore, if you're inside, you really got to be more careful. And again, even some things have come out now. Germs, virus actually maybe stays alive a little bit longer, or goes a little bit farther than what it was originally thought to do. So that being said, you got to be careful in what you do. You know, you go out of these sporting events and like the cheerleaders are, and again, this is coming from just a, I guess, a husband and parent of a cheer coach and the cheerleaders. You know, they're still required to wear their masks. They still can't stunt. And we're having people, you know, be able to tackle and hit and run and do some things that other sports, you know, cheers kind of, been put on the back burner. And maybe the commissioner misspoke last week. Hope he did, because if he didn't, he made a blunder by saying that, you know, cheerleaders were not essential.
Essential, right.
They're nice, but they're not essential. And hopefully what he said was taken out of context. If not, it was just a kind of little blunder. But it did kind of infuriate a whole lot of cheer folks.
I would agree with that. Let me throw this out there as well, is that to me, as parents, especially with school getting ready to start up, if you haven't done so already, and I would like to think that as, you know, parents that you would, especially under these circumstances, making sure your kids wash their hands on a somewhat regular basis, in a sense.
Practice.
I don't care if it's the birthday song, your ABCs, whatever it is. And at the same time, as crazy as this even sounds, but they know that our forearms up to our elbow is actually the dirtiest part. So even though you're washing your hands, in a sense, that's why doctors, when they scrub in, they're going all the way all up to their elbows, in a sense. But to make sure that you're teaching your kids to wash those hands, especially when they go to the bathroom and things along that, after they've eaten, before they eat, that kind of thing, in order to help stop the spread of germs and or even them getting the germs themselves. So again, just being diligent. Again, we've got to be able to step up as well within the district, teaching these kids these things. But obviously, if you're getting that at home as well as reinforcement and or starting there, because parents are your child's first teacher. So again, the school system can only do so much, and it's up to the parents to kind of take it to that next level.
Yeah, and again, it come back to like coaching. The more you practice, the better you should get. So it's the same thing with the mask, with the washing the hands, with the distancing. If you practice it at home, guess what? It becomes easy and second nature if you just practice more often. Take a little break here on PCS, about to do it again. PCSN Live here on the Palcani Sports Network on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers. Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Faulkner again, along with Ken Simon. Again, we've talked about a lot already with school, with COVID, with WSKV Sports Productions here on Palcani Sports Network. And you'll hear that phrase more often with us now. we've kind of want to coin that a little bit, the Powell County Sports Network, to just to tie in everything we're doing here. And again, this Wednesday night show is being covered by our sponsors as well. If you weren't aware of that, again, these are our sports sponsors that allow us through this show as well. And this week, we're just going to kind of just talk about what's going on a little bit, kind of update everybody. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the world of professional sports because we're getting in some major playoff time in baseball. But before we get there, well, there have been some changes to it's a minor change. It's kind of a silly change, I guess, if you will. But in basketball, and the KHSAs came out with this basketball season, there will not be a jump ball. There will be a coin flip prior to the game to see who gets first possession. Now, I can look at it two different ways. If this is a rule change and we're just not going to jump anymore, we're just going to coin flip for who gets the ball first, I'm okay with that. We've done away with tie-ups for years. We've done away with that, and we've gone to alternate possessions. So I'm okay if you tell me it's just a rule change. But to come out and say it's a COVID issue to make the change, it's kind of silly. I mean, as soon as you tip it up, you're going to be in direct contact with another player because you want to play some defense real quick. You're down low blocking out. You're making physical contact with another player. The jump ball is probably the least of your worries about contact because True. There's very little contact going on a jump ball. But like I said, if it was just a rule change, I'm all for it because, you know, sometimes officials throw the ball up bad. And it's kind of the other team may get an opportunity, but they're in the alternate possession. It doesn't matter. Everybody's gonna get similar amount of possessions, and the girls' basketball will be more possession changes just because there's more types. Right. So, what do you think about the rule change so far?
I'm not a fan. I think on one hand, I agree with what you said. I mean, to me, when you're sitting there and you're doing that under those circumstances, you're lining up to tip it up. That's about the furthest part. Everybody's probably going to be in no physical contact. I mean, at that point, then, you know, it's almost a moot point. But on one hand, okay, so if I win the coin toss, does that mean I can defer to the second half?
Ooh, good question.
I mean, right? I mean, it's just,
doing football.
That's exactly right. So therefore, if that's the case, do I want to take possession now? Or maybe I want to wait and let's see what happens in the second half. Maybe I want the ball in the second half to start off. And I get that they alternate back and forth. Right?
Well, I guess there could be no guarantee that you get the ball in the second half with alternate possessions.
So therefore, that's...
You have to take... I would assume you'd have to take possession. But I'm sure there are some teams that would rather... Maybe you could defer to the next possession that you get. And if you do tie a ball up, you get the ball.
Good point. Right. I mean, how far can you take this on one hand, really, right?
Yeah,
instead of just throwing it up and let's jump it.
I said, you know, when I played Little League basketball, which is as far as I ever got, every tie up, we had a jump ball. Every quarter change, we had a jump ball. In the last, I don't even remember when we had our last jump ball, Ken. It's probably been 20 years ago.
You're probably right, yeah.
Or more. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had a jump ball for tie-ups and quarter changes.
Right.
And it just speeds up play. It makes it more, to me, I kind of like it. You know, a jump ball, if you had, I'm just going to throw some throwback names. If you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and you had Muggsy Bogues, those two guys were jumping. Well, Kareem's going to get every possession.
For those of you who don't know who he's talking about, Muggsy Bogues was about 5'6",
maybe.
Kareem, you know, 7'3", or something.
So, I mean, you know, it does favor the team who has the tallest player.
Right.
And has the best, or has the best jumping ability. So, I like it for the fact that it evens the playing field. Everybody gets the same possessions. I like that part of it. I like the part that it takes the officials out of play where they may lean more to this side than the other.
Right.
Unintentionally,
sure.
But it had happened. You know, you have bad tosses. I kind of like it for those reasons. But just to say for a COVID concern, we're going to change. Come on, man. That's kind of silly. I mean, you're getting ready to just body up with somebody on defense, you know, and it's like the football guys, we're tackling, we're hitting. I'm sorry, a jump ball is probably the least of our concerns. But again,
yeah,
as a practical point, I like the change for change's sake, I don't like the change just because it's COVID.
Yeah, I never really liked the fact that they took away the jump ball personally. I think at that point, as far as a player, if you and I are going for the loose ball,
yes,
and all of a sudden I'm on defense and I kind of gain possession, you reach in and tie me up. I mean, at that point, all of a sudden your team, let's say, had possession. Well, at that point, I'm not rewarded for my good defense.
Correct.
So, therefore, I always like tipping it up, no matter who may have or may not have had the height advantage. You know,
but in the past, you at least got rewarded with a stoppage of play and a jump ball.
Right.
You got rewarded, and the jump ball was on, like, if it was on your end and you got it back on defense, that was a huge advantage. I like the part where you had to go the jump ball. Maybe they could be a rule change eventually where the officials determine who the aggressor was. And got the
initial possessor, kind of, in a sense, even that
regard. If I've got the ball out in front of my body and in a bad position, and somebody can reach in and just grabs the ball, you know what? That team should get it.
Agreed, yes.
Because that defender is the one that caused the tie-up. Let's give them the ball. You know, I mean, there's officials make a lot of calls, and that will be a tough one in some cases.
Right.
But you really don't get rewarded for the defensive play of tying somebody up. It just goes to the alternate possession. Like we said, this, the jump ball was taken out. It got rid of some of that play. You now at least know it's alternate possession. And again, I'm okay with the change, but not for the rationale they're giving from the KCSA.
Right.
And again, I think they're doing a decent job at the KCSA. I think, you know, the board of controls, the policy board is working really hard. And you got to, their planning purposes has been okay, but just some of the things that have been said, some of the restrictions that are still in place that are unexplained. And again, I'll go back to cheer. You know, they have competition coming up, and I think they moved it to January now. But you still don't let these kids practice their what they have to do for a competition. It's kind of silly, and these kids are pretty much spread out on the football field if they're cheering a game, and they still have to be masked. They can't, even if they're 6 feet apart, they have to be masked. And I get part of that because if they're yelling, that's part of the protocol. The molecules get out in the air, and I get that. But then again, you got players who are never masked while they are in their competition. It kind of almost discriminates against that cheer group because they're always being masked. And even if they're being active, they're still being masked. And I'll throw this out there. You know, there are people that – we talked about this before. If I have asthma and I have a doctor's note that says I don't have to wear a mask, I don't think 10 minutes in a store wearing a mask is going to affect that problem that much. Really, there's some masks you can get. Probably won't affect it really at all. So, again, protect others, protect whatever you need to do, and I get that. Athletics is kind of a whole different realm. Again, these kids got to be used to wearing a mask anyway. You're going back to school on Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it is for Powell County kids, but you have to be used to wearing that mask, and this has been part of it. You know, I watched kids yesterday during photo day, and, you know, my kids weren't masked for a while, and you know, Mr. Brewer saw, and I said, girls, get your mask on. You know, you're close proximity. And that was my fault. I just kind of aired there. And then I looked around. I'm thinking, wow, these are a lot of kids that the coaches are close by, and the kids take every advantage they can to get those masks down and masks off. And I'm thinking, this is not a good situation here.
I think that's almost indicative of society, kind of, right? I think people are getting a little bit more lax.
Yes.
Obviously, everybody's tired of it. I mean, who isn't? Everybody is. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, how young or how old you are. Everybody's tired of it. But at the same time, it's when you let your guard down.
That's when you get it.
Affect
someone else.
Correct. Yeah, that's when trouble kind of sets in. So, again, we have to stick to the plan and just stick to the plan.
And, again, if you're an athlete and you want to continue playing, stay masked.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to. There's time to be unmasked. There's time to be masked. Do what you're supposed to do, because when school starts, you'll be doing it anyway. So, again, we're going to take another break here on Powell County Sports Network, here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hernfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we're upcoming on UK's home opener. Well, their first game.
First game, yeah. I'm not home opener. Season opener.
Season opener, and that'll be Saturday. And hope everybody can kind of enjoy UK football.
On the road at Auburn. Noon kickoff.
Hello.
Right?
Hello.
And listen, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not necessarily a betting man in a sense, but I like Kentucky's chances, to be honest with you. I think that this particular team – he has lots of experience, lots of depth. You know, Mark Stoops and his staff have built a great program here over
and
these last...
And are building.
And still currently building. But I think that they're going to surprise some people this year, and it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if they went down. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot more competitive than what people think if, just like we talked about even high school, you cut down on your mistakes... You know, you don't turn the ball over and allow the other team to take advantage of that. But I think if you cut down on your mistakes, play solid defense, and score just enough points, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't pull off an upset.
Well, that would be nice. I tell you what, when you're playing an SEC-only schedule, that bad boy is going to be a booger.
Yeah.
And Kentucky got really kind of some bad draws. Have to play Auburn and Alabama this season, both, and then everybody else. And it doesn't really matter. Everybody in SEC is pretty quality anymore. Kentucky, again, in my mind, is probably mid-level. But used to be in the bottom.
I think they've crossed the middle. I think they're top third.
Upper half?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah,
I don't argue with upper half because, you know, you look at the last, two or three seasons, Kentucky has always kind of been in the top three in the East. And when you look at the big picture SEC-wise, three or four teams in the West are pretty good. The West has normally kind of dominated the East. But I tell you what, man, if you're getting to be in the top three for Kentucky, that's good. That's really good.
And I think on one hand, too, the fact that it is all SEC, let's see where Kentucky truly stacks up now, right?
This is true.
Let's see what kind of gains have been made under Stoops, and let's let it play out and see where we are at the end of the season.
Well, I'll say this. If you can go 6-4 with this schedule, Coach of the Year, Mark Stoops, because it's that kind of a schedule. And 6-4, it would be really good. If they go 7-3, it's like, okay, put a statue up. I mean, you know, it's
– right, yeah.
Those would be some really good numbers if you're looking forward for Kentucky football. But, again, we'll see. Again, a lot of folks are starting football. We've already started college football. But, again, Big Ten will be playing. They start in October, I believe. The only thing I worry about, like with the Big Ten, is the fact that they're starting later. You've got less prep time for your season. Injuries will happen quicker. And we're seeing that now with even high school football. I think you'll see it with professional football. You'll see it with college football. There's going to be more injuries because the kids have not, and I say kids, the kids or the men have not acclimated enough or like they used to, and they're not really ready for some of the contact that they're going to be having. So that's a concern with football. It's such a really a violent sport. You just really have to be used to getting hit. And with slowdown with COVID, it really slowed down everybody with that. We learned that with Mike Jones talking to him here.
Right.
Really only a week and a half, 2 weeks to get ready for contact. It's probably not safely, really. They probably didn't do things the wisest way. However, they wanted to play and they would trade that off. And again, you hate to see kids get hurt. And by the way, prayers out to young man for Powell County, Lucas Hood.
Correct. Yes.
With a broken femur at last week's Breathy County game, and we both saw the X-rays on, I guess, on Facebook, and whew, pretty tragic type of surgery the kid will have to have or has had. And I mean, it was a bad break.
Yeah, it definitely was. And you know, even as far as the, you look at the injuries, the first game for Powell football against Prestonsburg, really nobody, no injuries to speak of, no cramping. But now the second game, at that point, a lot more cramping on both sides mm-hmm. of the field. And that was both of their second games of the season, you know, plus the major injury. You know, at that point, though, that makes you think, okay, now we're into week three. Now what? Because, again, if you're not hydrating throughout the week, you're going to create problems for yourself, you know, come Friday night.
You look at this way, or I look at it this way. You have a couple scrimmages prior to season. You've had probably 4 weeks in pads. Then you have, so you've already been ready for 6 weeks. This is only week four of those six,
right?
With no scrimmages. So we're still in the acclimation process for these kids. So you could kind of, they're starting to get a little worn down. And again, you have to drink properly. You have to eat properly. You have to get your body acclimated to the contact. And it's all part of the process, with football, again, soccer. A lot of running. You got to make sure that you stay physically fit. The weather hasn't been too bad. I really think the delay helps in some fashions because you're out there when it's 90,
right?
85. Those are really brutal conditions. I really do like, and maybe this is something that maybe the KTSA looks at. Let's back it up 2 weeks because it may get us from that summer window into maybe the fall window when the weather just a little bit better, a little bit nicer to play a game.
Yeah, definitely a lot cooler, the circumstances, and even practices.
Yeah.
You know, and they're practicing in the evening, so therefore it is a little bit cooler, more game-like conditions as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, the hot and humid. Of course, we ran into a stretch there for a while. Now it's really kind of cooled off. But at the same time, though, sometimes in that heat and humidity, it gets you a little bit better conditioned in some ways because now at that point you're extenuating on your physical body in a sense in those conditions. So therefore it's kind of helping you in some ways, you know, to kind of get acclimated, even though it's not, you know, game time.
I kind of look at it this way. A high school kid, you really can't control what they do on and off the field. At the high school or the college level and the pro level, those coaches may be able to control what you're doing off the field. Here, who knows who is hydrating well, who knows who is eating the right way or getting the right opportunities even to eat. We're not even in school yet, and these kids have got to take care of their bodies, and maybe they don't have the best understanding of that in the world just because they're teenagers. And well, they just don't really maybe sometimes know any better.
Well, and even with this, think about this. Now, all of a sudden, kids are going to have to be at school by 8:10.
Yep.
Right? Now, what time, considering it's, you know, remote learning, what, you know, you can kind of tune in at different times, you know, throughout the day kind of, depending on your schedule. So, therefore, now you're up earlier. Are you used to staying up later? Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have to back that up again.
The reacclimate.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, not this Friday, but the following Friday when they play host to Fleming County to see as far as how the players react, if there's a little bit more of fatigue that kind of sets in based on the fact that now you're actually back in school mm-hmm. from that 8:10 to, you know, 3:30 time period.
Well, basically. My advice for the players to be that week two you're talking about with Fleming County, not this week but the next, they're back in session next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Don't sleep in on Friday. Stay, keep your body acclimated to getting up early. Maybe not 8 o'clock, but get up at least by 9. Get out and be active. Start doing some things so you're on a normal routine. And that needs to probably stay the rest of the weekend as well. And then when you go back for next week. So some things that happen during Fleming County's week that may affect you for the next week. So every week affects the next week if you're not taking care of yourself. We're going to take another break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Be back in a moment.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We'll switch gears a little bit and talk about Major League Baseball because my Reds and Ken's Cardinals are both in the hunt for playoff bursts. It just kind of depends on how this week goes for both teams. We'll start out with American League and talk about the teams that are in and the teams that have not clinched as of yet. Really, the American League is fairly set. In the American League East, it is the Rays. Looks like they're going to win the East. They've clinched a while. They've clinched a spot, but the Yankees actually could catch the Rays as far as the rest of the week, but they would have to pretty much win out, and the Rays would almost have to lose out to lose that spot. In the AL Central, it's the White Sox and Twins in a basic tie. They're one behind the loss column. All the Twins, which is the Reds' next opponent coming in on Friday, and then the Indians are in third place. They have also clinched a playoff spot. They are the first team in. In the AL West, the Oakland Athletics have clinched a playoff spot as well. The Houston Astros and probably the Toronto Blue Jays will battle out for the two spot. You got the Astros coming in at 28 and 27. The Blue Jays also 28 and 27. Those two will battle out for the rest of the week to determine who that eighth seed will be. Likely the eighth seed will be. I really don't see any of those two teams overtaking Cleveland with their pitching staff. But again, mathematically it's possible to at least tie Cleveland if those teams went out and Cleveland loses out the remainder of the season. In the National League, by the way, do any of those teams really surprise you in the American League again?
Not really, no. I mean, you know, I think, if anything, maybe Tampa Bay, you know, that kind of might be a surprise, really, as far as the Rays.
Yeah, first place in the East?
Yeah.
What traditionally would be one of the tougher divisions in baseball, with the Red Sox in last place in that division, a couple games behind Baltimore. That had to be a shock to the folks in Red Sox land. But, again, the AL Central looks like a really tough division. And, again, the Astros not winning the West may be a little bit of a surprise. The Athletics have played really well. And again, the Anaheim Angels have just underperformed for years and years and years.
On one hand, as much as I hate to put on these terms, to me, when they traded for Albert Pujols, they went down the wrong track. You know, he was a Cardinal beforehand, and I get he was chasing the money, but really he could have stayed in St. Louis for not much less. Well,
St. Louis probably made a good deal.
They probably did, because he's been full of injuries in many respects kind of since then. But I felt like that they were expecting a lot from him. He never had the same numbers that he had in St. Louis. And since then, like, they've had the players, but yet can't quite get over that hump in a sense. So that it's unfortunate, you know, when you're trying to acquire, you know, quality players in a sense, trying to build your rosters and things don't necessarily pan out. It's unfortunate. Of course, it happens to franchises, you know, all over the place in a sense, but still.
Well, they spent a lot of money on Pujols, then they spent a lot of money on Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And then they, Shohei Ohtani brought him in. So you've got a lot of your salary tied up in those three players. Then they picked up the guy from Houston, a couple, I can't think of his name. But anyway, they've made some major signs, and they put a lot of money into their top four players.
Yeah.
And with that being said, not a lot of that's been spent on pitching. And as we are seeing with baseball today, it's all about the starting pitching.
Or your bullpen.
Yeah, because really, you know, like I said, those are some pretty good players for the Angels, but they're not getting it done on the pitching end. So,
right.
You know, it becomes a trade-off. In the National League, a real quick look at the National League. The Atlanta Braves clinched last night the East bid. The Marlins still alive for the wild card, as well as the Phillies. We'll talk about the wild card in a second. The Cubs have clinched a berth. They have not clinched the division. They've just clinched a playoff berth at 32-23.
Boo.
I may be mistaken on that. I think they've actually clinched the division. The only team that I think could catch them would be, I'm not sure the Cardinals could catch them. They only have five games remaining. So I guess technically the Cardinals and the Reds both could catch the Cubs if they win out and the Cubs lose out. So we'll just say playoff berth is secured by the Cubs. The Cardinals, sitting at 27-25, are in second place. They have the second division lined up. The Reds and the Brewers are only one game behind St. Louis for second place. And I we'll get back to wild card in a minute, but I believe you'll see some, I guess, good news if you're a Reds fan. The Dodgers have clinched the AL West, or the National League West. Padres have clinched the second place position, and the Giants are in the mix for the second wild card, if you will. So by looking at this, you've got the Marlins, who are in line to get a seat. They're, I think, a game and a half over the Phillies, which means the Phillies would be in line for the second playoff spot. They're 27-29. The Reds are 28-28, Brewers 27-27, those two teams in a virtual tie, and the Giants also at 27-27. So the Reds, Brewers, and Giants are all three in a virtual tie, and the Phillies at 27-29. So it's a four-team race really for one spot, unless the Reds or Brewers overtake the Cardinals. And there's a five-game series coming up with St. Louis and Milwaukee coming up starting tomorrow night, a five-game series with Milwaukee. So the way I look at it, St. Louis and Milwaukee control their own destiny. The Reds are kind of watching to see what happens in that division. Got a key game with the Brewers tonight that I think they must win over the Brewers. That being said, if the Brewers could go in and take three out of five from St. Louis, they may be able to slide into one of those spots for the wild card, but the Cardinals kind of in control. If they win three out of five, they're probably going to get a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, and obviously it depends on, hopefully your team is winning and the other teams ahead of you are losing,
yes,
you know, in order to make up that ground. Because if you both win, no gain. You know, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose in order to, you know, affect that change. And for me, the interesting part as far as the National League, the Padres.
Oh, yeah. Fun team.
The Padres kind of, to me, are kind of that surprise team in a sense. And maybe even Atlanta kind of jumping back on top. It's been a while since the Braves have kind of been relevant to some extent. So the fact that they're kind of back on top of their division along with the Padres, you know, those are probably the most interesting things in the National League.
Yeah, look at the Nationals, though. Your World Series champs, probably next to last, actually in last place in the American League or the National League East, and the Mets just above those. Those are two of the main playoff teams last
year.
Yeah.
How's that happen to Washington, right? Same thing with Houston, I guess, really, in general.
I think when you look at those two teams, they lost key starting pitching. And when we say key starting pitching, we're not talking about just a starter. We're talking about two of the best pitchers in baseball not making this year because they've been injured for most of this year. So that plays a key role, I think, in how the game plays out. The Nationals had a lot of injuries early. They've been kind of out of it most of the season. The Reds have probably been the hottest team here in the last 2 weeks. That being said, the Cardinals and Brewers are kind of holding their own as far as if you look at the records in the last 2 weeks, they're real similar. Really, those three teams, to me, are playing such good baseball. And again, I think they're doing it a little bit similar. The Cardinals are probably a better offensive team than the Brewers and the Reds. The Reds and Brewers have some really nice starting pitching and bullpen depth. So once you get into the bullpens and once you get into the rotations, you know, the Dodgers are good. The Reds are a scary team. Brewers can be a scary team. The Cardinals don't have as much pitching as the others, but they've got a nice team. So when you look at the whole thing, this is going to be a really fun playoff. I like the expanded playoffs. Hope Major League Baseball sticks to this. This is just something that I like, and it keeps more people involved. When we're talking about eight teams, and we're probably talking about 12 teams in the National League still in the hunt, that's what baseball should be every year. I think this is something that might want to stick around to Major League Baseball, maybe shorten your season, go to expanded playoffs, because I'll tell you what, it's brought a lot of interest back to baseball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think in general, I think if all of the major sports would even look at that model.
Well, I think the NBA kind of does anyway, yeah, because pretty much everybody makes it.
Kind of. The only thing I wish that the NBA would consider doing, they've talked about this, is continue to reseed.
Yeah.
You know,
throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of going into, you know, I'm going to use this as an example, you know, the American League and the National League, and just take your top eight teams' record straight up, get rid of the divisions, and just go just straight up National League, American League, take your top eight, and then let them go at it. I mean, at that point, I get division titles and all, and it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, sometimes you have one of those teams that has a great record. They don't necessarily get in because they didn't win their division. Now, all of a sudden, they're almost penalized because now you don't have that expanded opportunity when you've got those teams that are getting in just based on, you know, the records and winning the division.
I don't want to play the Padres because they are an exciting team to watch.
No, I would not either.
And they're probably the second best team in the National League and maybe the second best team in baseball with the Dodgers in that division. That's pretty tough baseball. If you're just playing out west, you're doing a good job. That'll wrap it up for tonight. We'll tune in next week on here's PCSN Live. But again, a rough schedule for Thursday night. Balcony Volleyball tomorrow. Balcony Football on Friday. And then back on Tuesday, Balcony Volleyball at Owsley County. And we'll be back here with you here Wednesday
Thursday.
Night.
Yeah, and then Thursday week. Again next week, back to soccer for a doubleheader, boys and girls.
So stay tuned to Balcony Sports Network. Again, this is PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Irvin, Lico, Salt Lick, Levy, Denston, Goffs Corner, Kirksville, Pine Ridge, Nada, and Boonville. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVS.